Welcome back, everybody. We're diving deep into Isaiah 9 today.
A chapter just packed with messianic prophecy.
It is. It is. And, you know, we've got some really fascinating sources.
Oh, absolutely.
That we're going to be pulling from. And you know what I think is really interesting about Isaiah 9 is how this ancient text, it really speaks to us even today.
Oh, I completely agree.
You know?
It's not just predicting the future. It's about, you know, hope and transformation and the very nature of God.
It is. So maybe for those who, you know, haven't really cracked open Isaiah, maybe you could give us a little bit of context about who Isaiah was.
Yeah.
And, you know, why should we care about what he said thousands of years ago?
Well, Isaiah was a prophet in ancient Judah, and he was really known for his vivid imagery, you know, and these profound pronouncements. So imagine him like a spiritual commentator. He's offering insights into the events of the day, and he's delivering Lot's message to the people. And what makes Isaiah 9 so unique is that it's this sneak peek into the future, you know, a glimpse of this coming leader who will bring hope and change to the world.
Okay. All right. So let's get into the text itself. So right off the bat, Isaiah sets the scene in Galilee. Now, I think, you know, from Sunday school, I remember Galilee is this sort of peaceful place.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that accurate?
Not quite.
Okay.
While Galilee was known for its natural beauty, during Isaiah's time, it was really a region that was burdened by oppression. So imagine, you know, living under this constant threat. You know, your land's occupied, your people are struggling. That was the reality for the people in Galilee.
So how does this kind of gloomy picture connect to a messianic prophecy? Why Galilee?
Well, that's where it gets really interesting. So Isaiah predicts this future time when Galilee will be honored, you know, a time when this marginalized region will be lifted up. And centuries later, the Gospel of Matthew directly connects this prophecy to Jesus. And Jesus, as you know, began his ministry right there in Galilee.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like seeing a puzzle piece just fall right into place.
It is, yeah. And hold on. Jesus was actually from Galilee, right?
That's right.
That makes this prophecy even more personal.
It does.
Doesn't it?
Absolutely. Jesus grew up in Zebulun, which is one of the tribes that Isaiah specifically mentions in this passage. So it really adds another layer to this idea of a very specific prophecy being fulfilled in a really tangible way.
It does. Okay, so we've got this geographical detail about Galilee. But Isaiah doesn't stop there. He goes on to use this incredibly powerful imagery of light and darkness.
Yeah.
What's he getting at with this metaphor?
Well, imagine a world that's shrouded in spiritual darkness.
Okay.
Where people are just, you know, searching for meaning and hope. Isaiah depicts the Messiah as a source of light.
Okay.
A beacon that's breaking through that darkness. He's not just talking about physical light. He's describing a spiritual awakening.
Yeah.
A time when people will be guided out of confusion and despair.
And that image of light that connects to Jesus being called Lohar Goyim. Right? A light to the nation.
Exactly.
It's like Isaiah saying, hey, this Messiah, he's not just going to impact one region, one people group.
Right.
But the entire world.
Absolutely. And you know, that theme echoes back to God's promise to Abraham.
Oh, right.
That all nations would be blessed through his descendants.
Okay.
So it's a thread that runs through really the entire story of the Bible.
Right.
This idea that God's plan of salvation is ultimately for everyone.
That is interesting. So we've gone from this very specific location, Galilee, to this much wider scope of a life for all nations.
Yeah.
Where does Isaiah take us next?
Well, to truly grasp the power of this prophecy, I think we need to shift our focus to a seemingly unexpected comparison that Isaiah makes.
Okay.
He links the coming Messiah to Gideon, the Israelite judge who delivered his people from oppression.
Oh, Gideon.
You remember Gideon, the guy who whittled down his army to just 300 men?
Right, right.
And still managed to defeat the Midianites?
Yeah, okay, I'm starting to see the connection here.
Yeah.
Gideon's an unlikely hero who achieved this, what seemed like, impossible victory.
Right.
Is Isaiah suggesting that the Messiah will also be this surprising figure who brings about a victory that seems impossible?
That's a great observation. What's so fascinating here is how Isaiah draws this parallel between Gideon's sudden and miraculous victory and the ultimate victory that the Messiah will achieve.
Okay. And doesn't Isaiah also hint at a final battle, like a cosmic showdown?
He does.
Like, it's like he's taking us from a historical event to a glimpse of, like, the apocalypse.
Yeah, the language he uses about, you know, bloody garments being burned and the zeal of the Lord accomplishing his purposes definitely anticipates this final conflict.
Right.
It echoes the imagery that we see in Revelation.
Oh, okay.
The book of the Bible that talks about the ultimate battle between good and evil.
All right, so we've got Galilee, light versus darkness, Gideon's victory, and a hint of apocalypse.
Yeah, we've covered a lot.
It feels like we've covered a lot of ground. Where do we go from here?
Well, before we get to that final battle, let's dive into something truly remarkable. the four powerful titles given to the Messiah in Isaiah 9.6.
Okay.
They offer us a deeper understanding of who this coming leader will be.
All right, yeah. Let's unpack those titles.
They are Wonderful Counselor.
Okay.
Mighty God.
Okay.
Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace.
Wow, yeah, those are some...
Yeah, they're big.
Big titles. I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Let's start with Wonderful Counselor.
Okay.
What does that even mean?
Well, it implies this incredible wisdom.
Right.
Someone who can offer guidance and teach with absolute authority.
Okay.
You know, it's someone people would just naturally turn to.
Right.
For advice and direction.
And when I think about Jesus.
Yeah.
This title, it seems to fit.
It does.
Perfectly. His teachings, you know, the parables, the Sermon on the Mount.
Uh-huh.
They all point to this, like, extraordinary wisdom.
Absolutely. And the way people reacted to his teachings
right.
really confirms this. They were amazed by his authority, his ability to, you know, cut through religious jargon
right.
and speak directly to their hearts.
Yeah, he didn't mince words, that's for sure.
No, he did not.
So, Wonderful Counselor, check. What about the next title, Mighty God?
Oh, yeah.
That seems pretty straightforward, but I imagine that's also caused some debate.
Of course, yes.
Over the years.
You're right. That one has sparked a lot of discussion, especially regarding its implications for the Messiah's divine nature.
Right, right.
But in the context of Isaiah's prophecy, it really points to the Messiah's power.
Okay.
You know, his ability to overcome enemies, to establish true justice, and ultimately to establish God's kingdom on earth.
Okay, so Mighty God indicates power and authority.
Yes.
What about Everlasting Father?
Now, that title might seem a bit confusing at first glance,
right.
but it's important to remember that the ancient Hebrews, they used the term father differently than we do today.
Okay.
It could represent, you know, a category or an attribute.
Oh, okay.
So it's emphasizing the enduring nature of the Messiah's reign.
Okay.
It's about his ability to protect, guide, and provide for his people,
yeah.
just like a father would.
So it's not necessarily about, like, literal fatherhood.
Right.
But more about embodying those fatherly qualities
yes.
on this grand scale.
Exactly. And that ties in perfectly with kind of the broader theme of Isaiah's prophecy.
Okay.
He's pointing toward this future where God's reign will be fully established, you know, where his kingdom will have no end.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, so we've got Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and last but not least, Prince of Peace.
Ah, yes. And this title, Prince of Peace, speaks volumes about the transformation that the Messiah will bring.
Okay.
You know, we often think of peace as simply the absence of war or conflict.
Right.
But the Hebrew word shalom, it encompasses so much more. It refers to this wholeness,
yeah.
this harmony, a state of perfect well-being, right relationships with God and each other under the Messiah's rule.
And you look at Jesus's ministry, you see this idea of shalom woven throughout everything that he did.
Yes.
You know, healing the sick, comforting the afflicted.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you know, offering that reconciliation with God.
Uh-huh.
It's almost like, you know, Isaiah is giving us a preview.
It is.
Of scenes from the gospel centuries before yeah. they were written.
It's amazing, isn't it, how these ancient prophecies connect to the person of Jesus.
It really is.
In such specific and profound ways.
So we've gone from the, like, geographical details of Galilee
yeah.
to these grand titles that paint a picture of who the Messiah will be
right.
and what he will accomplish. And it feels like we've only just, like, scratched the surface
oh, yeah.
of Isaiah 9.
There's more.
What else can we discover in this prophecy?
Well, there's still much more to explore. You know, we need to look at how Isaiah describes the impact of the Messiah's reign.
Okay.
The kind of world he will usher in. Welcome back to our deep dive into Isaiah 9.
All right, so we're back.
We've been unpacking those incredible titles
yeah.
given to the Messiah.
Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God.
Yes, yes.
Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace.
Powerful. Powerful title.
They are. But how does that translate into actual change? You know, what does Isaiah say about, like, the impact
yeah.
of the Messiah's reign?
Well, Isaiah doesn't just give us these titles. He paints this vivid picture of what life will be like under the Messiah's rule.
Okay.
And it's a stark contrast to, you know, the oppressive reality that the people of Isaiah's time were experiencing.
Okay, so no more oppression. That's a good start.
Right.
What does this new reality look like? Does Isaiah, like, get into specific?
He does.
Yeah.
Isaiah describes it as this time of, you know, unprecedented joy.
Okay.
This liberation from oppression and the establishment of true justice. Remember how we talked about Galilee
right.
being burdened?
Yeah.
Well, Isaiah is essentially saying that the Messiah's reign will lift those burdens.
Okay.
Not just for Galilee, but for everyone.
So it's not just about, like, political freedom.
Right.
It's like this deeper transformation.
Yeah, it's societal. You're picking up on exactly what Isaiah is saying.
Okay.
He uses these, you know, incredibly powerful metaphors
okay.
to describe how the Messiah will break the chains of injustice.
Okay.
He talks about, you know, shattering yokes, snapping the rod of the oppressor,
wow.
earning the instruments of war.
He's not messing around.
No, he's not.
It sounds like he's declaring a definitive end.
He is.
To tyranny
yes.
and suffering.
Exactly. Exactly. And here's where we kind of circle back okay. to our earlier discussion about Gideon.
Right.
Remember how we talked about his, you know, unlikely victory
right.
over the Midianites?
Yeah.
Well, Isaiah links this future liberation
okay.
to that specific event.
Oh, okay.
It's as if he's drawing this parallel between, you know, Gideon's victory, which brought temporary relief to the Israelites.
Right.
And the Messiah's victory, which will usher in an era of lasting peace and justice.
It's almost like Isaiah saying, remember Gideon, this is like that,
right,
but way bigger.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Isaiah is giving us this glimpse into this future where the Messiah will not only defeat enemies,
right,
but he will also establish this reign of righteousness,
yeah,
that will fundamentally change the world.
Okay, so no more war, no more oppression. But what about, you know, all the other brokenness in the world? Does Isaiah address that?
He does.
Okay.
And this is where we get to kind of the harder of Isaiah's message.
Okay.
It's about more than just like political or military victory.
Right.
It's about this complete overhaul of the human condition.
Oh, wow.
A restoration of, you know, right relationships with God and humanity.
Okay.
And among people themselves,
yeah.
it's about healing those deeper wounds.
Right. That caused so much suffering.
So it's about addressing the root causes,
yes.
not just the symptoms.
Exactly. And remember how earlier Isaiah hinted at this final battle?
Right, right.
Well, he expands on that idea here, suggesting that the Messiah's victory,
okay.
it won't be a one-time event, but rather a culmination
oh, okay.
of God's plan throughout history.
So it's not just about winning a war. It's about bringing about the lasting change.
Yes.
Okay. And this leads us to a really crucial concept that Isaiah emphasizes,
okay.
this idea of God's zeal.
Okay, zeal. I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Okay, so Isaiah describes God's zeal as this kind of irresistible force
okay.
that will bring about the ultimate triumph
okay.
of good over evil.
Right.
It's not just about human effort.
Yeah.
It's about God's active involvement in setting things. Right.
So it's not just about waiting around for things to get better. It's about recognizing that God is actively
right.
working to bring about his plan.
Exactly. And here's the, you know, really interesting part.
Okay.
Isaiah links this final victory to the establishment
okay.
of the Messiah's everlasting reign.
Okay.
It's as if he's saying that true peace and justice can only be fully realized
okay.
when God's kingdom is established on earth.
So it's about a complete change in the way the world operates.
Yeah.
A shift from like brokenness to wholeness.
Exactly. And this idea of an everlasting kingdom, it's crucial to understanding Isaiah's prophecy.
Okay.
It's not just about a temporary break from
right.
suffering.
Right.
It's about a permanent change in the very fabric of reality.
Okay. So we've got this picture of transformation.
Right.
This world where peace and justice prevail. But how does all this connect to Jesus and the New Testament?
That's where things get really fascinating.
Okay.
You know, the gospel writers, especially Matthew and Luke,
right.
they saw Jesus as the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecies.
Okay.
They point to specific events in Jesus's life and ministry
okay.
as evidence of this connection.
For example, doesn't Luke describe the angel Gabriel appearing to Mary?
Yeah.
And announcing that, you know, she will give birth to a son who will inherit the throne of David?
That's right.
That sounds like Isaiah's prophecy.
Yes.
About the Messiah's lineage.
Exactly.
And everlasting kingdom.
You're exactly right. And Matthew connects Jesus's minister in Galilee
right.
to Isaiah's prophecy about the land of Zebulun and Naphtali.
Right.
Seeing a great light, he sees Jesus's presence and teachings as that light
okay.
shining into the darkness.
Wow. It's amazing how all these seemingly disparate elements, ancient prophecies, geographical locations, historical events, and even, you know, the names given to the Messiah.
I know.
They all converge.
It all comes together.
And the person of Jesus. It's like watching this tapestry being woven together.
It really is.
Thread by thread.
And that's the beauty of studying prophecy.
Yeah.
It's like uncovering this hidden code.
Right.
Where seemingly random pieces suddenly fit together.
Right.
To create this stunning picture.
Okay, so we've, you know, explored the depths of Isaiah 9, uncovering its profound prophecies about the Messiah, his mission, and the ultimate transformation he will bring to the world.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, let's take a step back.
Okay.
And consider what this all means for us today. How do we connect these ancient prophecies to our modern lives?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And that's exactly what we're going to explore in our final segment.
Okay.
Get ready for some thought-provoking insights.
All right, so we're back, and we've been on this incredible journey through Isaiah 9, you know, uncovering all these amazing prophecies about the Messiah and the future that he promises.
It's been quite a deep dive.
It has been. We've talked about Galilee and light and darkness and Gideon's victory and those powerful titles and, you know, this incredible transformation that's coming. But now I'm really curious, like, what does it all mean for us here and now? How do we, like, connect these ancient words to our everyday lives?
Well, you know, Isaiah isn't just giving us a history lesson or a preview of some far-off event. He's really speaking to our present reality.
Okay.
You know, he's offering us a roadmap for how to live in a world that's often filled with darkness and uncertainty.
Okay, so no more doom and gloom.
Right.
Got it. But how do we actually apply these ancient prophecies to our modern lives? Where's the connection?
Well, one of the, I think, key takeaways from Isaiah 9 is this theme of hope.
Okay.
No matter how dark things may seem in our world, and let's face it, things can feel pretty bleak sometimes.
Right.
Isaiah reminds us that there's a light coming, a force for good that will ultimately triumph over evil.
That's a powerful message, especially in times like these, you know, when we're just bombarded with bad news.
Right.
And it feels like things are spiraling out of control.
Yes.
It's a reminder that we're not alone, you know, that there's this bigger plan at work and that ultimately good will prevail.
Exactly. And this hope isn't just some passive waiting game. You know, Isaiah challenges us to actively participate in bringing about this future of peace and justice. He's calling us to be part of the solution,
right?
Not just bystanders watching from the sidelines.
So it's not just about believing in a future Messiah.
Right.
It's about, like, embodying the values and principles that he represents.
Yes.
Compassion, justice, peace, and unwavering faith in God's promises.
Yes.
It's about putting those beliefs into action, like, right here, right now.
Precisely. If we truly believe in the Messiah's coming and the transformation he'll bring, then our lives should reflect that belief.
Yeah.
It should impact how we treat others, the choices we make, the way we engage with the world around us.
Right.
You know, it's about being the change we want to see.
It sounds like Isaiah is calling us to be agents of change, to be beacons of light in this world that often feels shrouded in darkness.
Yes.
To, like, roll up our sleeves and get to work.
Exactly. And that's a challenge that's relevant no matter who you are or what your background is. Whether you're a person of faith or simply someone seeking, you know, hope and meaning in a world that often feels chaotic and unpredictable.
Right.
Isaiah's message resonates. It's a universal call to action.
So it's not just for a select few, it's for everyone.
Absolutely. You know, Isaiah is reminding us that we have this role to play in shaping the future.
Yeah.
We can choose to perpetuate, you know, these cycles of violence and injustice.
Right.
Or we can choose to align ourselves with the forces of good to be these instruments of healing and reconciliation.
Yeah.
The choice is ours.
Wow. That is powerful and empowering.
It is.
It reminds us that we're not just passive bystanders in, you know, the grand narrative of history.
We have a part.
We do. We have agency.
Yes.
You know, we have the ability to choose a different path to create a better world, both for ourselves and for, you know, future generations.
And that's what makes Isaiah 9 so relevant. You know, even thousands of years after it was written, it's this call to action, a challenge to live out the values of the coming Messiah,
yeah,
to be peacemakers,
right,
to fight for justice, and to never lose sight of the hope that ultimately good will triumph.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Isaiah 9,
yeah,
I think the question we're left with is this. How will you, dear listener, respond to this call to action? How will your choices today shape the future? That's something worth pondering, you know, as we go about our day.
It is indeed. Until next time, keep exploring. There's always more to discover.
And we'll see you on our next deep dive.